Check, check. How we doing back there, Nina? You got me? Okay, good. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Any questions about anything covered so far? Today we get into some really good stuff. It's one of my favorite days. Before I go any further, it's a really important announcement I got to make. On level 2 manual, page 197 begins a transcript of the videotape we're going to watch on Monday. The audio on that kind of goes in and out and has some problems. And so we're very fortunate that one of our graduates was a court reporter and she transcribed the entire thing. So that's why it's a transcript. And that's why some of the places are just blanks in this transcript. But please have that read by Monday. Okay? So you can, if you read the entire transcript and then watch it, you get most of what's going on. Before you read the transcript, it would probably also be helpful if you read the chapter on the forgiveness of others so that you have some idea of what's going on there, because that's what that video is from. FOS. Forgiveness of others. So, and somebody let Michael know about that. Okay, yes.
I had a question this morning when we were doing the numbers, counting and skipping the number 7. And we were working...
Six.
Wow.
See, it worked.
Yeah.
She skipped 6 and went to 7.
It didn't work.
See? When you let down your guard, skip it right over it and go to 7.
We couldn't decide because I could say 6. I was repeating after her and I was skipping it. But then when I came out, I could say 6.
You could say 6.
Yes. Now, is that because I know the trick or because I hadn't reached the proper...
Trick? What trick?
I know the trick.
Okay. One of the things is you've talked about it, you've studied it, and for some people, it'll make it harder for them to experience the phenomenon. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people will still experience it. Now, so, and you did point out something very good. When they repeat it in hypnosis, that is not the phenomenon. That's compliance and compounding, right? But after they emerge, say, please count from 1 to 10 for me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, 10. If that doesn't happen, there's a number of different reasons. One, they just never were deep enough. Two, they rejected the suggestion in the first place because maybe they just knew too much about it and that kind of stuff. Three, after they emerged, they decided not to do it. For some reason, maybe it made them feel silly or something like that. And the protected mind just stepped in and rejected the suggestion. So any number of different things. This is why we don't do this in sessions. In sessions, we do covert testing and then convincers at the level 1 and 2, eye lock and arm catalepsy. So we wouldn't want to take the chance on... them rejecting the suggestion and failing.
So we should use this one in the session for this practice.
Yes, read my lips. We do covert testing in sessions with clients for stage 4 or deeper, and then we do overt testing at stage 1 and 2 because we can be pretty confident that they're going to be able to pass that test. And if they don't, what do you do? You just talk to them about it. Find out what happened. Probably means the pre-talk isn't done yet. There's some fear, misconception, or something like that. Mark, you're still here. I thought you had to go somewhere.
Client hasn't arrived yet, so...
You've got to stay right in here the last minute. You're so hardcore.
I'm a team player.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just having a hard time. We use covert testing for with clients up through, phenomenalism. And then we use overt testing for...
As a convincer for stage 1 and 2.
Stage 1 and 2 is 5 now.
In anything. Just exactly what I've been saying for 4 days. You do covert testing. We have the losing the numbers of the eye fractionation deepening technique covert test. That is a minimum of stage 4.
Yeah.
That's what we do in sessions, because if they fail, they don't know it.
Yeah.
Then we do ILOC or arm catalepsy test as a convincer. That's stage one and stage two, hypnoidal and light. Nina, do I have everybody logged on to the internet up here?
Yeah,
Okay. You guys up there and, you know, all over the world, you guys can ask questions too. You know, raise your hand. Any other questions about anything covered so far? Yesterday, I made a slight I was a little bit. I left something out. I probably should have reviewed arm catalepsy with you guys, because Mark is going around saying, you know, some of you guys are getting, some of you aren't. So the arm catalepsy, just so you know, because you're going to keep doing that today and and Monday. You say, the moment I'm going to lift your hand, I'd like you to leave it there. They give it a little shake. Like that. Okay. We lock it at the elbow. We lock it at the shoulder. Give it a squeeze. When you say lock the elbow, squeeze it. Squeeze it. I give another tug and it becomes stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. Stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. Now any pressure down and it springs up. Pressure down and it springs up. In a moment, I'll count from 1 to 3. When I get to 3, you'll try to lower it, but you'll not be able to. 1, 2, 3. Harder. Try harder. Try harder. Good. Stop trying. Unlock the elbow. Unlock the shoulder. Put your hand in your lap and go deeper.
Good. So you get it.
And it's just a light touch. You just have to make it spring. Any pressure down, it springs back up. Any pressure down, it springs back up. In a moment, I'll count from 1 to 3. When I get to 3, you'll try to lower it, but you'll not be able to. 1, 2, 3. Good. Try, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. Try, but you cannot. Good. Stop trying. Unlock the arm. Unlock the shoulder. And so on.
It's not up here. I mean, you're just out. It's just
no, it's out not a Heil Hitler.
Yeah.
It's just
you're not blowing it when you say try, you cannot either.
No. Just one time.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
Right.
Okay. And I know Mark was going around trying to get everybody fixed up on that. But you know what? Remember the first time you did the induction? And kind of how nerve-wracking that was? As soon as I gave you something else to get nerve-wracked about, now it's easy to do the induction, isn't it? And that's one reason why I'm having you do all these, even you're going to be doing negative and positive hallucinations, is while you guys are getting all flustered about that, the induction and eye lock and arm lock become like nothing. And you're never going to use those other overt tests in sessions. They're good for two things. They're good for learning about hypnosis, which we're here for this week and next week, and secondly, for research. For example, if I said the Cal Banyan induction, the Elman Banyan induction is better than progressive relaxation. They say, well, how are you going to quantify that? Well, what we could do is we could take two groups, randomly assigned to two groups, and then have one group go through the Elman Banyan, the other group go through progressive relaxation, and then start doing overt testing, do eye lock, arm catalepsy, and so on. And then we could write down how far that group went, do the same thing over here, see how far that group, average it together, and then compare. And we could say, on average, one induction took people more deeply into hypnosis than the other. And so that's what those are useful for. So. And it's also, you know, when it happens, it's really fun. You know. So is that clear on the arm catalepsy? Okay. I should have done that yesterday.
Does it matter, or is it just a client's preference whether they put out the arm, they make a fist, or whether they make the movement?
I give them no guidance on that. No. They can do whatever feels good for them. If I thought it was important for them to make a fist, I'd say, make a fist. Otherwise, a lot of people, I don't know, I've never really paid much attention. Some people kind of make a fist, and some people do this, and some people kind of do like that. It's irrelevant to what I'm testing, so I just don't worry about it. Anything else? Questions about anything covered so far? Yeah.
Now, yesterday at the beginning of the session that you did with God,
yes,
you had a little blurb that was more about relaxing your eyelids and compliant. You had a further explanation than what we normally do in the induction. Is that available, written out anywhere? Or is
no.
Just...
What it was is I was just being a little bit more explanatory to her, because if I just started barking out directions, my experience wouldn't work so good. So, mm-hmm. Exam on Thursday. 30th clarity. The clarification now. Okay. Quiz time.
I have one question. I don't know. I still am not clear exactly what affected bridge.
Affect bridge.
Affect bridge. I'm sorry. Just like to put on that shit.
Yeah, well, that's age regression stuff. We haven't covered it yet.
Okay. I wonder if it's coming.
All we've done so far is laid out the foundations for hypnosis,
yeah,
and covered phase one, preparation, convincing, and testing. We're going to get deeply into the age regression technique today and Monday. That's what we're going to be spending all of our time on. Let me see. Quiz time. Here's a good one. Mitch, should you explain to your clients before you do the work that you intend to do age regression, and in your opinion, why or why not?
Based on my zero experience.
However, based on reading the manual, there's an opinion. Which at this point should be part of your experience.
Sue had a bad experience with that, where she actually resented not being told beforehand. Personally, I would want to tell someone beforehand that we were interested.
We had talked about that, and I know in the book it says you shouldn't. And I guess I agree with that, because had I known that, I wouldn't have gone to that appointment.
Exactly.
But I did, once I got in there, I had a few feelings about that, and I felt like I was a little tricked into something that I wasn't prepared for.
Can you emerge at any time you want?
Yes.
Can you reject any suggestion you wish?
But I had paid big bucks, so I stuck it out.
Okay, so far you're validating everything I said. Have them pay ahead of time.
You're right.
It's just, all we're doing is making suggestions. They're not compelled to do it.
Right.
They can make a decision to follow through or not.
Yeah.
If you start telling everybody, that comes in, and then you know what we're going to do? We're going to find some rotten period of time in your childhood, drag you through it again. It's going to feel so bad you're probably going to cry. You might even barf, okay? And they've been spending their whole life smoking too much, drinking too much, eating too much to avoid those feelings. Last thing they want to do at that time is to make an appointment to feel them, right?
Tell that to a man. Tell that to a male. That you're going to, they might cry and they might.
Well, we don't tell anybody.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Because as Jerry Kine says, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. You do a disservice to the client if you inform them about what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. Sometimes the client will say, well, what are we going to do today? And I'll tell them what I'm going to do, but not how I'm going to do it. I said, well, there's a feeling inside you that, you know, you've been, as in the book, in the Seagull Angel Feelings, you've been distracting yourself. So today we're going to neutralize it using hypnosis. How would you like that? I don't tell them how we're going to follow it back, find out what caused it, and stuff like that. But remember, they can always say, hey, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do that. And then I'm going to tell you how to handle that if that happens. Bowling?
I'm curious to Sue that after this, in a position where you've been grateful that you did it.
Well, I think I was. Right. I'm here. However, I cried and I felt like crap at the end of that session. So I said to him, no, we're not doing this again next week, are we? And he said, you did a lot of hard work today, and I think you've got some of the hardest work behind you. So I heard him say, it's not going to be this bad next week. But you know what? It was worse. Good reason to not, you know.
I want to ask you a question. You said you felt like crap afterwards.
Yep. Physically.
Physically.
Yes. Not emotionally. I mean, I had cried. I had the crying hangover. I had a headache. It was that kind of stuff.
Okay. Who is your therapist?
Randy Cook.
Good man.
He is a good man.
Good. Yeah, I think he did an internship with us.
He did.
So he knows what to do. He's doing it right. You know, people say, well, you know, they're going to get uncomfortable. I go, wah. You know, they might not like it if you touch them on the forehead. I said, if they're not liking it isn't sufficient to end the session, I don't care. Okay? They might get mad at you. I says, so long as they're not so mad that it interferes with us doing with what we came in here to do, then I don't care. Be mad, be glad, be happy or sad. You know, be uncomfortable. I don't care. You know, and a lot of helping professions are like that. You ever got a massage? Oh, you know. You know, and you ever gone to physical therapy? You know, you ever gone to the doctor and got a shot? You know, sometimes it hurts. Sometimes getting better is uncomfortable. And you can always say no. Always have that ability. So I just plow ahead.
What if, can you preface or tell the client ahead of time they ask you what we're going to do? You say, well, we're going to find out, because our goal is to find the ISE, right? Or ISE, the initial sensitizing event. Can we say something like, we're going to go to the root of the problem, find the root of the problem, neutralize it?
What if they say, what do you mean, how do you do that?
So hypnosis.
How does hypnosis help you get to the root of the problem? You don't know what you're going to be doing?
Well, I mean, I have to tell them, but...
Boom! I don't know. It depends. You got to use your best judgment. Ignorance is bliss. And I talk about, you know, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it, I keep to myself, you know, as much as I can. We will say, you know, if they're in for a fear, I say, you know, what we're going to do is we're going to neutralize the fear. And then you'll get back control of your life. How would you like that? And if they say, how? I say, well, there's a number of different techniques that we use, and I won't know what's appropriate until I get in there.
That's great.
So come on in, make your appointment, and then we get going. And they've laid down that $100, $200, $300. Then they have that special kind of mental attitude as well. I might as well go through with it now. Right?
I actually said one day, like the third session, I remember saying, okay, asshole, what are we doing today?
You were getting back your power, weren't you?
Yeah. I mean, it was fun. I didn't remember it, but, you know.
Very fun
with you.
The thing he records a lot.
Yeah.
The biggest mistake ever made was always trying to explain too much because it's...
Yeah.
It just
wasn't as bad as I thought it was, and it was so neat when I picked up and said, wow, there's the big one of those great big ahas in the manual right there.
This is one of the problems with being a hypnotist or hypnotherapist is that most of you are out there being the lone hypnotist, and you got no one to talk to about what you're doing, and so you want to do it with your clients, and it's perfectly inappropriate. That's why I set up things like Yahoo groups. That's why I set up the virtual classroom where you can get together, you know, every couple weeks with five pathers and talk about certain topics. That's why I set up ourhypnospace.com, because we need a sense of community. You know, most social workers work where there's other social workers. Most nurses work where there's other nurses. Most doctors work where there's other doctors. And that collegial type environment is something we naturally desire. So please, if you have not yet gone to ourhypnospace.com and signed up for our account, please do so. It's better than anything else out there, and this is why. You get to put a face to the email address and message. I know a lot of these other groups, and I personally run about 10 groups on Yahoo, and you just have an email address or a name, and there's 14 Debbies and, you know, 16 Johns, and you just don't, and then I see them at the convention, oh, don't you remember me, I'm part of your group? Never seen their face. But on ourhypnospace.com, you get to put a little picture of yourself in there. It goes with all your messages and stuff like that, and it's really different interacting with each other. You get a website, you get a blog, you get a place to put videos, photographs, all that cool stuff, and you can watch videos and photographs and all that stuff from other people. And there's groups. You want a group? You can go set up a group. You want a Midwest Five Pathers group? Boom. 2 minutes, you can have that set up and start advertising on some of the other Yahoo groups or the other groups. Say, hey, if you're a Five Pather, and come here, and you can have that collegial environment. Nina.
So what's going to be asking you to mention the
I just did. I said we have the virtual classroom where Five Pathers get together every couple weeks and cover a topic. So Celeste is the one that manages that. It costs you like, is it $5 a mass meeting? But you have to be you have to have what the Bolsom CD that they're talking about, because every 2 weeks they talk about a different one. Most of those are available for download. You can just, you know, instantly have them on your computer. You don't have to have them shipped to you. So we can talk a little more about that later. Celeste, you want to add anything to that?
That's perfect. Thanks.
I like perfect. Another thing, we just posted an interview I just did with James Ramey. It's now on calbanion.com, so you can watch that. He talks about the ultra depth process and the C-court state. And he's going to be doing a whole big class on it in September.
I wonder if on our last day of the class, Nina, or someone who is tech savvy, might be able to show some of us who are less tech savvy some of the ins and outs of getting on those groups, because I'm not sure I know how to.
Well, you type in that, and then there's a place where it says create an account, and then you just fill in the information. I mean, you should. Give it a stab on your own, but if you catch them around here on a break or something,
yeah.
They love that kind of stuff. Yeah. Just say, hey, can you show me our hypnospace? And if they're not on some hot thing,
yeah.
John and Nina can help you out with that. They're happy to do it.
I think you forgot to mention our hypnospace. It's free. It's actually a really cool one. It's free.
Totally free. Yeah. We're doing nothing but losing money on that deal. We do this in partnership with the people who created the software. They post some Google ads on there. Last month, we made $28.95. We pay $29.95 a month for the site.
So it's a get-rich-quick scheme.
It's not a get-rich-quick thing, no. It's not.
Money in every deal, make millions.
So hopefully we'll do a little bit better this month, but it is never thought of as being a big money-making thing. It's about, gosh, most of you are out there, the lone hypnotist. Maybe your spouse probably doesn't even understand what you're doing, you know, and so, or your girlfriend or boyfriend or, you know, whatever, dog, whatever it is that you keep your company with. And it's nice to have some people you can talk about this stuff to. And it helps you to lower your motivation to talk about inappropriate stuff with your clients. They don't need to know what an ISE is. My clients don't even know what Five Path is unless they came in for Five Path. I'll say, oh, now we're going to do Five Path. We're going to, you know, go to that chair where everyone goes to overcome their fears or whatever it is they came in for, and then I just do it. Good. Any other questions about anything covered so far? Bolene.
It's a question about
question on ethics. The statement about not having personal relationships with clients, what does that mean? Because most of the people that I'm going to see to start off with are going to be my clients.
But after you get done with them, they're not.
See what you guys are ready for?
I don't think the NGH prohibits that. They say, you know, keep the best interest of your clients, you know, as the first priority. I highly recommend that you don't do that. My training and background is in psychology. And, like, for example, I believe the latest information is thou shalt not have sexual relations with your clients or really any kind of relationship at all until you've ended the therapy process with them for at least 2 years.
Yeah, in Texas, it may even change. It's never male.
Never, for psychologists?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's ridiculous, especially in Texas. Well, let me tell you why. It's also true for Minnesota and North Dakota and South Dakota and all these states that have a lot of small towns. You know, a friend of mine, Dr. Alan Fannin, the guy that kind of helped me out to just by being my friend. I go, gosh, this guy's as smart as him. I could probably go to college too. And he's in this little town of Carlstead, northern Minnesota. And, you know, when you have 1,500 people in a town, guess what? You're connected to all of them in some way. You know, they're either your barber or they're your mechanic or they're the construction people that built your house or they're the gas station attendant or your son marries their daughter who's related to everybody in town. And, you know, obviously, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to date them and stuff, but the you want to avoid these non-professional relationships. For a few years, I would not see students at all as clients because of the dual relationship. Now I will do it on an individual basis. If someone wants to see me, I'll talk to them. I'll let them know about what the requirements are if they want to see me as a client. But it's, you know, it's something you need to keep very careful because this is why. To the degree that you have a pre-existing relationship with that person, it will usually negatively affect the hypnotherapy process. Here's one example. I have seen some wonderfully talented people go through this class, hypnotize 20 people in class, doing wonderful, have an absolute sparkling career ahead of them, go home, try to hypnotize their husband or wife, it not work, and think, oh, it must have just worked only in class. And then they go become a bartender or something. It's not all bad. But you can still get tips. You know? But what happened? The pre-existing relationship completely interfered. Because on the perhaps the spouse, even though you do your best for the pre-talk, thinks, oh, if she hypnotizes me, you know, there's going to be a change in the power in the relationship. Or even though you say it's not a truth serum, they're afraid it is. And so they just don't go into hypnosis. And then you think, I can't do this. Well, that will also work in the hypnotherapy process, especially things like age regression. What you do is you bring up the feeling inside them they don't like, has everything to do with why they came here today, and you follow it back to an earlier time they felt that way, and boom, 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 and all of a sudden they're 4 years old and they just pooped their pants in kindergarten, everybody's making fun of them, and that's really embarrassing to the grown-up. And now what, if this was your friend, maybe they avoid you now because they're uncomfortable and they're embarrassed. Okay, so when you uncover personal information, it can interfere with your personal relationship. Or they can always choose not to reveal that information, and then it interferes with the therapy process. So I don't do therapy on my friends and family. Well, I don't have any friends, but my family. Now I have one or two. But that's just the way I feel. Now, here's the good news. If you know that, you understand that, then it would be okay to do like direct suggestion hypnosis. Don't do uncovering techniques. But it's like doing hypnotherapy one, both hands tied behind your back. At least your biggest tools are not there. But here's another good piece of news. When you're doing seventh path, you're not the therapist. You're the teacher. And you can teach seventh path to anyone you know. Wife, husband, you know, parents. Good. So does that help? Yeah. All right. Any other questions about anything covered so far? Yes, Mark.
Do you have any kind of statistics that track your clients to show what success rates you have within any given kind of, like smoking or drinking?
No. We're just not equipped to do that right. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm trained as a scientist. I know how to do that. And I know how to do, I've been published in American Psychiatric Journal, American Psychological Journal. I know how to do that stuff. And to do it right, to where I could actually quote them and stuff, not have the time or the inclination to do that. But most of our clients come from referrals. And so we know it's going out there and working. From time to time, we've tracked individual people so we could report back to their doctors. To really do what you want to do, you need to contract with an agency that does that. And you should not ever quote statistics that were not done properly. It's misleading. That's just the truth of it. And you might go, oh, that's terrible. Ask your doctor the same question. Ask a nurse the same question. Ask your physical therapist the same question. Ask a lawyer the same question. And if they're honest, they'll tell you exactly what I said. Practitioners just don't do that. That's university work.
So how do you answer when they say, what's the success rate for your stop smoking program?
I say most of our clients are by referral. Okay, people sending their friends or family after it's worked for them. But we have a special situation with stop smoking, and that is at the end of the sessions, we ask them, are you now a non-smoker? Good times, bad times, thick or thin, alone or with someone, is there anything you could ever imagine to make you want to do that to yourself again? And we can statistically analyze that, and at that point, at the end of services, we've got approaching 100% success. But we don't do a follow-up 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months. It's just we're not equipped to do that. It's going to be a long time before that kind of data is available with the kind of work we do. The data that's available for hypnosis is usually along the line of direct suggestion hypnosis. Why? Because it's easy to study. You know, you have the client come in, you read them a script, or you have them listen to a CD or, you know, a recording, and they get exactly the same treatment over and over again. But you start getting into what you're going to start watching, five-path age regression, and you'll find out that therapies are very difficult to study in a statistical way. Because of the once treatment, it's like war. You know, everyone goes in with a plan, and the first thing that happens is you throw out the plan. You know, and so in research, you go in with a structure of how you're going to do the research, but there's just too many variables to track in real therapy situations that are dynamic, like 5-PATH. Yes, John.
I was actually like I worked in a treatment center for a few years, and it's I was either they're drinking or they're not drinking. Right. I don't know, like, you know, 1 month, 3 months. So I was just wondering, like, if you called somebody 6 months later and it's past an hour doing, it doesn't seem like, you know, I mean, you're not going to get, like, you're not going to get a cast iron, you know, quartz discus, so you're going to get, guessing.
Long-term studies are really difficult, particularly in modern society, just the mobility factor. If you look at Gov statistics on smoking, they're really not very well. There's not tons of them, and they're not big, and they're not long term.
Yeah,
it's really sad.
John, I can see your point, but the thing is that we see people for everything. And so over a year, we may have had, say, 300 clients where, you know, two have been for cocaine, one has been for crack, five have been for alcohol. And what happens is our ends is too small because we're just, I mean, just scattered. You know, see, this one's in for baseball, this one's for test anxiety, and it's just like that. If there was the will to do it, we could do it. But we just haven't seen it as our place to do that.
And the cultural issues on the population, some people are more susceptible.
Well, and also they have to opt in on the research, they have to have informed consent, and it's just a little bit more difficult.
I know they've done it on breast enlargement with women, and I know they've done that on smoking.
Yeah. And if you're going to do it, those are the things you'd want to do is the stuff you do the most, like stop smoking and weight loss and stuff like that.
I
tried
a university doing a survey that stopped smoking when their skin power was developed because they covered a monopoly of the tobacco industry. That's what built the university.
Okay. Any questions about anything covered so far?
Bullying. It's a really dumb question.
Because that should be easy.
The word pattern. I don't understand the word pattern.
Yeah.
It's nonsensical, like extraneous.
No, there's professional patterns. And pattern is just something that is part of the profession that you say, phrases, sentences that you say. And like the deeper you go, the better you feel.
We call them secret words.
Yeah. That is a pattern. I mean, you might call it a pattern script. Typically, the old timers in the profession call it pattern, and then the newer people call it scripts. But I just try to make everybody happy. I go pattern script.
Did it just come from, I've never looked it up in the dictionary. I kept always talking about pattern when I was reading some of the material. Then, you know, was it some guy named Pattern that call it pattern?
Actually, it comes from religious services.
Okay.
It was what the patter said. The father.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So it's what they said. They go up there and go blah, 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 blah. You know, and it's, and a lot of it was what they said over and over again because it was part of a ritualized service.
Yeah.
And so it was the patter. And so it came from that. And then it's been then, that's a profession, you know, the clergy. And then it has been borrowed by other professions. But that's where the pattern comes from.
I love the history of words. They tell a lot.
The pattern. It's what the pontiff said, you know.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
No, I feel holy.
Yeah. Well.
These ladies are really talking
about
sailors.
I know.
It all started with rats.
No, I didn't.
What snacks
are
you
going to
take?
I'm
over here in Texas.
The bathroom is an extension of you. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Holy cow.
Today's Friday.
Is that it? No more questions about anything covered so far, right? Okay, we're going to take a very short break. Oh, we'll take a whole 10 minutes, and then we're going to come back and do 7-pack.
Be good. Good show.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah, it's because I'm just a little bit naughty, and you never know what I'm going to say. It helps keep you awake. In the afternoon, I try to be a little bit more bizarre because it keeps people awake. Right?
One of your former students, Art Renzo, called and left Susanna and I a message and said, I know you guys are in class, you don't have to answer this, but I'm just calling to say, hey, hope you're having a great class. I told Susanna, I thought that was so nice. I didn't know that he was in Houston
mm-hmm.
until...
He called me about the IAC, the International Association of Counselors and Therapists, and the lady who's like putting together the chapter in Houston. We've been having the meetings at our office. And so he came to one of our meetings and was like, oh, you did 5 Path? Oh, great. We're about to go study that. But I thought that was so nice of him to call us and go, hey, girls, hope you're having a good time.
Seek out an NGH chapter. NGH does a lot more for us than they do.
Nancy is on line one, and she said there's some miscommunication. She'd like to meet you real quick.
Okay.
Apache, well, I have an Apache name, but I don't have
It's a day that I'm really tired.
It's the end of the week. It's Friday.
It is.
It's been a very full week.
I mean, not just tired, but I mean, I'm tired. Absolutely. Let's see if the restroom is open now.
Nina, we're going to be taking the group on the air. And John's going to be showing you how to
walk on. I want to know how to get to Disneyland today or tomorrow.
I'm not the guy.
I don't even know where it's at.
Thank you.
What? Come on, everybody, back in.
It's great. Like the world is
crazy.
Speed kills.
Okay. I spoke with John, and he said he would be willing to have you all go out there by his desk, and he will set up a website, and so you guys can see how it's done. Take 5 minutes. Okay. So he said, give him 10 minutes, but he's had five. That should be enough, right? All right, let's go.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. Please. Yep. Especially if I could talk somebody else.
maybe if I can't get out here tomorrow, you can grab a few off the gym. She's going to be ready at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
got the page, eh?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Makes it lighter for me to carry.
Do you get this at the hotel?
I do.
I have more secret projects like that coming. One of the next things I'm going to be doing is we're going to be producing an ongoing series. Is that on?
Yep.
Well, the next thing I'll be doing is with Celeste, I'm going to produce an ongoing series, like almost like a hypno TV show for the blog. We'll be answering questions and discussing interesting things in the profession. Nina, did you take care of everybody online?
Yeah.
So last week, just watched the tour of your office on ourhypnospace.com. What did you guys think of that?
Good.
You got a standing ovation in the other rooms.
Yeah.
They said, gosh, she's a blabbermouth. She should be on radio or something. Are you there, Celeste?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm laughing.
Oh, okay. Good. All right. So now what we're going to do is you're going to get the first recognition. What you're going to do is just spend some time on the first recognition in the full form. Then I'm going to give you the second recognition in the full form. And then you're going to get the third recognition in the short form. And this weekend, remember to do this, because one of the things we're going to do on Monday is spend time talking about the experience you had over the weekend doing 7 Path. All right, so please get yourself in a safe, comfortable position. Adjust your chairs however you need to. And begin. Delta renews my life, mentally, physically, emotionally. Thank you. attention. Your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are now ready to receive the full second recognition. Delta made me always a lovable, just as I am. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. This is the recognition of the fact that you need not change one thing about yourself to be lovable. Being lovable is not something that you achieve. It is a recognition of who you are. You've never had to achieve it because you have always been lovable, just as you are. As I continue to say it out loud, say it silently to yourself, using your Delta word. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. I'll say it three more times, and then continue on your own. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. And now continue on your own using your Delta word with Delta made me always lovable, just as I am. love them may be always lovable, just as I am. Delta may be always lovable, just as I am. Thank you. your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are now ready to receive the third recognition. In this recognition, Delta represents your Creator. However you conceptualize your Creator to be, your Creator is the one who created this world, the Earth, with all of its mountains, valleys, rivers, streams, and oceans. Your Creator filled it full of life, from the birds that go into the sky to all of the animals that live on the land, as well as all of the creatures that live in all of the waters, rivers, lakes, and oceans. All placed on a planet in perfect balance as it spins around the sun. In a huge solar system that is like a perfect giant clock. And your Creator put it in a universe that seems to go on forever. This is who created you. Your Creator did not do all of this, create all that is, and then, when it came time to create you, somehow make a mistake. You are just like all of the other creations. You are everything that you need to be, to do everything that you came into this world to do. You have all the strength, all of the intellect, and all of the talents you need to do everything that you came into this world to do. You came in customized and fully equipped. In your past, others may have said that there was something wrong with you. They may have implied it by word or deed. You may have even thought there was something wrong with you, but all of that is only human opinion. The greatest wisdom and the greatest knowing, that of the Creator, the one who created all that is, knows there's nothing wrong with you. It's time for you to know it and to feel that way too. The third recognition is, Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. It is the simple recognition of the truth about you. As you use it, it goes into you and dissolves away any erroneous programming that you may have within you. It removes any kind of belief in deficiency of any kind. As you use this recognition, your self-confidence and self-esteem grows and fills you completely. As I say it out loud, repeat it silently to yourself using your Delta word. Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there is nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there is nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there is nothing wrong with me. now. I'll repeat it 3 more times. Then continue on your own, letting the echo occur between each one. Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. And now, continue on your own with Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. to know there's nothing wrong with me. Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me. Thank you. your attention returns to the sound of my voice. You are good. You're in a state of renewal. Mentally, physically, emotionally. Recognize it. And you were created always lovable, no matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, no matter what you've said, no matter what you've done. You are always lovable, just as you are. You need not change one thing about yourself to be completely lovable. And now you recognize that really, there's nothing wrong with you. You're everything you need to be. To do everything that you came into this world to do. And now slowly, comfortably at your own rate, emerge. Welcome back, Earthlings. Discussion and sharing time. Who'd like to go first? Like to share? Discuss? Mike? Kim?
On second, the more extended version of the recognition, I seem to have a little more dissonance show up than on the first meeting.
I need you to talk a little bit louder, okay. Please.
I'm here. Sure. I seem to have a little more dissonance show up on like the extended recognition than I do on the primary, even the next one, because it's easier than that one.
So the short versions are not causing you as much dissonance as the full versions.
And the part of it, you know, could be me having issues with like my dyslexia or stuff like that, but like I caught myself this morning changing the script. Not intentionally, but you know, instead of renews, it was restores. Or, but I said, no, here's to program first this way. But still, then the physical, mental, emotional stuff is like fading away, like the numbers fade away.
And it's normal for some drift to occur when that happens. Just recognize it,
yeah.
And then get it back on track. A real common one is Delta removes my life. Hold on a second. I have to get me back. But you got to understand that the common shift to removes my life is not like, oh, they've become suicidal. But we talk about where we're emptying the cup, we're removing all, neutralizing all this negativity. And so, and when you catch yourself doing that, or Delta makes me always lovable, you just have to catch it, get it right. If you find that you're fading away before you get to mentally, physically, it just means you have to focus a little bit more.
Yeah. And the other thing is, since the thing even arrived in the mail, I have an issue with Delta. And so I'm trying to, every time you say Delta, I have my next thing, I'm saying Delta again.
Yeah, don't say Delta.
I know
that. But let me tell you what, that is a side effect of the hypnosis. I'm going, repeat after me, Delta renews my life. Delta, so you go. Delta renews. It's not supposed to do that. So it's a side effect of the suggestibility of the hypnosis.
I almost wish you hypnotized me, code me in on that, because even when it showed up in the mail, I hadn't even been hypnotized. If you had left it blank, I would have known. It's just like I need to.
You'll get over it.
I need a direct drive into that.
You'll get over it.
Whatever you know. That's it.
It's common. I still think, looking at the big picture, Delta works better than blank renews my life. So, Because I think if I said, repeat after me, blank, clean is my life, we'd have exactly the same thing happening. One thing I want, before I get to any more questions. So, Kim is saying, I'm noticing that the full versions cause more dissonance. That's right. And you cannot tell what's going on in somebody by looking at them. That's why we give them the short versions first. Because for some people, the long versions or full versions are far more provocative. And they will either quit or go crazy if they take on too much too fast. Never do what I'm doing to you. I'm giving you these recognitions far too quickly. After you get done with the class, you're supposed to go back to doing just the first recognition in the full form for about 2-3 days. Then start adding a recognition to your practice once a week. I go to the convention and meet with some of our five pathers and seven pathers, and I've had a couple say, you were right. I thought I could handle it, and I just did all 9 recognitions in the full form from the start, and I wound up in the hospital. Okay, it's sometimes, and you can't tell by looking at the outside what's on the inside. It's too much. And if you follow my suggestion, and you go, you know, do a few days on just the first recognition, then add the second recognition and go a week, and then add the third recognition and go a week, you're going to have an experience that's much more in line with what your students and clients are going to have. So please do it that way. We've had people who, you know, all I can do is sit here or stand here and talk. Please, the stuff I'm telling you, it comes from my experience and the experience of many more people. I've had graduates say, Cal doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to give 3 recognitions in this session and then the full 3 recognitions in the next one. And we've had people wind up in the padded cell. This stuff is safe when done correctly, but you can overload people because there's just some people are carrying a huge amount of emotional upset and upheaval and stuff. And if you open all that at once, it can be more than they can take. So please, we wanna do this in a very respectful, safe way. Susanna, did you have your turn? She went away again. Okay, while you're fading back in, Sue had a question.
I have a question. If you were doing this with an individual, would you help them identify or let them identify what their delta was going to be, and then when you were giving them that hypnotic suggestion, use that for them?
What I would do is whatever seemed like it served the client the best. If they felt comfortable working with me to help sort out their delta, of course. But I'd be really, really careful not to let my spiritual biases get in there. Or I'd be very careful to make it not appear that my spiritual biases are getting in there. And then the other thing is I recommend that, like, let's say they go, oh, I'm going to use God. Don't start giving the suggestion, God renews my life. This is why. You're starting to notice that these different recognitions might work better with different deltas. For example, the third recognition, delta represents your creator, whoever, whatever, or however, you know, you perceive that creative source to be. So maybe there's a more, and if I'm going, you know, God knows there's nothing wrong with you, maybe there's some other thing that would work better for that. Or maybe they had Jesus for their number one. And now I'm saying, you know, Jesus knows there's nothing wrong with you. And different people's theology and Christianity, some people say, well, Jesus is God. Some people say Jesus is the Son of God. Irrelevant. When we stop using delta, it actually limits the process and sometimes complicates it.
So so I might have a different delta for different ones?
Yep.
Okay.
Even the same one, it might appear.
You can change the delta with every breath. But certainly, for some of you, some recognitions, a particular delta will just seem to fit better for you.
And then I did want you to know that by brushing my teeth this morning, I noticed delta in my faucet.
Delta faucet.
Yeah. It scared me a little bit.
Some of you are going to realize that you flew here on Delta Airlines. And that the Delta Force is, raiding someplace in Afghanistan. Okay, please. Susanna, go ahead. I'm going to ask you to speak up just a little bit louder, okay? It's kind of hard to come out of all that, self-hypnosis and then speak in a loud voice, but give it a shot.
Well, Delta made me lovable, and it was just such a
pleasure. Always lovable.
Always lovable, and God, it's the only way I explain it is like I'm living in a country all my life where nobody spoke my language, and finally somebody speaks this language and walked up to me, and it was such a wonderful relief. And then I realized it was just later on, I realized in that session, I realized I don't have to go around looking for clues that I'm loving or not lovable. And it was just hugely profound. And last night, how I do this is like, yeah, whatever. I mean, I did it yesterday afternoon and last night. And nothing profound. Everybody else can get profound stuff. But this morning we were talking about something, and I had another insight that I really feel is based on what I got yesterday. And so I'm thinking into a way cognitive state that
is. That's right. Even when you're not doing seven path, the insights or recognitions can continue to come to you.
Yeah. So which actually gave me a greater insight today.
The insights gained in one recognition can often prepare you for deeper insight in the subsequent recognition. Maybe this works. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking, I just got my course, but I'm going to hold space.
How do you feel inside?
Very relaxed. Very grateful.
Thank you very much. Any questions for me? Next. Bully? Sentence is a thought. Because if you go more than one or two thoughts, you're just getting chattery in mind.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you.
manage, remember yesterday I said I could lose the following, I couldn't raise a child. And you said it would come. So today there was another meeting and stuff was happening on that event. And then it started, the other knee started to walk toward me sitting here. And as it walked toward me, it engulfed me into the center of this. And then I had...
What was that like for you? What was relieved? So your out of alignment-ness was relieved? Or some emotion that was being caused by your out of alignment-ness? I'm ending on this. I've changed because now I know. Okay, you make it too big to do this. Within 1 second, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I know. And that makes me feel. And now that I'm inside me, I've changed because now I know. Now that I'm inside me, I've changed because now I know. And that makes me feel. Smiling.
I thank you because that's all that really
helps. Yeah, it really kind of helps have a place to be and a way to hold on to it.
Yeah.
So when we have them put the end on those sentences, I've changed because now I know I've changed because I feel. They just had an experience that's rather amorphous, you know, without shape or hard to define. But if we can push them to kind of, come on, put an ending on this, then it helps to crystallize the experience and to give it meaning, both mentally and emotionally. And then you have ownership of it. You go, yes, and now it's got a place to be inside you. Also, one thing, that the stuff I say before I told you the recognition, the script, it's there to prepare the mind for the recognition, like a farmer prepares the field for seed. It opens the mind so that it's different than if I would have said, out of nowhere, Delta knows there's nothing wrong what we talked about, you know, the origin. You know, this is according to your belief about Delta, and that Delta is the creator of everything. And, you know, here's this Earth that's spinning around the sun, like a perfect giant clock. This is who created everything that is. That's who created you. And that consciousness knows there's nothing wrong with you. You're just as perfect as everything else in the world, fulfilling its function completely. You have everything you need to have to do everything you can need the world to do. Your creator could arrange nothing less than that.
But give me joy when that profound process of
work, all actually is neutralized. Yeah, so here I am, I'm breaking one of the rules of hypnotic suggestion, and that is positive statement. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday. The principle of resonance is more important than the principle of positive statement. Everyone has already, somewhere in their life, been given an experience where it implied by word or deed that was, someone said, there's something wrong with you. Maybe you've even said it to yourself. So me saying, there's nothing wrong with you, does not create an offense because it's already there. In fact, stating it in the negative more powerfully resonates with that message inside of you. There's nothing wrong with you. If you ever get to the ultimate forms, it is restated in a completely positive way. But at this point, it's more powerful in the negative. Because it neutralized nothing wrong with you. It's like nothing, 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 and the numbers disappear. And so it helps to neutralize as much as we can at this point in the process the concept, belief, or feeling. If there's something wrong. A lot to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any questions for me? Okay. Well, you know where I work, right? OurHypnoseCase.com. Good, thank you. Who will share next? Charlie.
I've been putting a lot of effort into like connecting with the higher power. Yeah, video and laptop and laptop. It's really been helpful. So I practice this before. Like, you said something that just made me think of the connect.
More.
With my emotions.
To connect more emotionally to your higher power.
Yeah. Yesterday I had this like sexual image in my mind. Yeah. And all of a sudden like this, it was like the door opened over here, and all of a sudden it was just weird. Something was there and then it happened really fast. I just went out of it, but like, I woke up about 4 o'clock this morning, and there was fear in me. I don't know whether it was to deal with this, but there was just fear there, so I started doing the right things again. And, I know these work because I've done, practiced them.
Now, let me talk a little bit about what you've talked about so far. So, you're doing this, and fear came up, and it's starting to, according to your willingness to have it happen, for these emotions to come up. And if the fear comes up with the recognition, Delta made me always lovable, then somewhere in your life you have been made fearful because of the perception that you weren't lovable. If fear comes up with Delta knows there's nothing wrong with me, then it's dredging it up, and somewhere, this is thematic. There's a theme here of lovability. And so, somewhere along in one's life, there has been fear generated by the perception or belief that they're not lovable. Now, so, John's case, you've done some of these recognitions on your own, right? Prior to this, and still stuff is coming up. When you do 7-path in groups, it's more powerful. It's more powerful for a couple of reasons. One, you're bouncing off everybody else's emotions and stories, they're triggering thoughts and feelings that maybe at a more rapid rate than maybe you would have just having your own life, you know. Because events come up and they trigger thoughts and feelings, which it can be worked on. And also, my observation is that if one person, if you do this, anything that's done like this that's spiritual, and one person does it, it is one to the first power. If two people do it, then it's two to the second power. There's an exponential increase in the power and efficacy of what you're doing. If three people do it, then it's three to the third. So we go from the power of one to the power of four to the power of nine. You know? What if you had 20 people doing it? We've got 20 to the 20th, 400 times more powerful, you see. That's why often spiritual practices are done in congregations. Because when we congregate together to do these things, to prayer or meditate or whatever, it exponentiates the power of what we're doing. See? Whoever two or more are gathered together in my name, I shall be there, was one of the things that Christ said. So, or Jesus, whatever you want to say. So, and I think that that's an example of that. And so, those of you who may have had some of Seven Path originally, and then you go through it again with me, and the group, then it's more powerful. Another thing I'd like to mention about this is, as Seven Path teachers, one of the very nice things you could do is you could organize, like once a week, once every 2 weeks, once a month, whatever, a time where your Seven Pathers, the ones who are learning it, can get together. You know, it could be in a library or in a classroom or in someone's living room or whatever, and do some Seven Path together and some sharing afterwards. And it will help everybody grow faster as you do it in community. Good. Anything else, John?
Just a small one, practice maybe this morning. I just felt a real sense of joy. It's really
beautiful.
Well, the third delta made me angry.
Good for you.
Because it kind of turned into a conversation. Every time I'd say it, it was almost like, well, God knows there's nothing wrong with me. Why don't you? And just made me very angry because last night I did the, you know, made me always love a lot, etc. And nothing particularly came out of that. But then I decided to call my mom and ask her one question. I said, Mom, when did you notice that I started gaining weight? And she told me basically my history that I can't remember. And after that, I just had this major breakdown with my friends. And then, like, I think that led into the anger at for the third delta.
Yeah. You know what? That's not at all unusual. Deltas 2 and 3 are well known for bringing up anger. And fear. Those are the two feelings that they really bring up. Yeah, because you go, well, wait a minute. If, you know, my God or Goddess or Delta, the universe or whatever, the all-knowing, infinite consciousness, creative all it is, there's something wrong with you, why did you do that to me? Why were you so criticizing? If I was always created so lovable and stuff, you know, why didn't you act like it? And we can feel real let down, real disappointed, real angry. We can actually begin to feel some of the fear of the child from the past. And guess what? Here's something very interesting. If you get angry or sad or mad or fearful when you do any of these recognitions did not make you feel that way. If you get angry when you get the third recognition did not make you mad. What's happened, it has provoked some of the anger that's inside of you. And there's nothing that could in any way be harmful in any of these three states. But they'll dissonate with that stuff inside of you and feel it come up. And what you want to do is let it up. And remember, sending point starts to come up, send it right in there. I'm not telling you that's going to make it go away. Sometimes it will get worse. But it'll help you move through the process faster. It'll be more effective, more efficient. How are you feeling now?
Well, I'm still angry. Like last night, in the middle of the night, I'm having all these physical effects take over. Like I had a Charlie horse that I'm still trying to get over in my leg. And my pillow was covered with blood this morning, so I'm still kind of, you know, dealing with that.
Where did the blood come from? Was it his face, nosebleed?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen lots of those. Yeah.
Why the nosebleeds? You mean from using this? You see a lot of nosebleeds?
I've seen that happen, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your body is adjusting as a release of stress. There's a purging. Sometimes nosebleeds can be very healthy. It's a way of letting go of stuff that's been held in. Just body changing and stuff like that. And the best thing you can do is just, you know, drink lots of water, get some moderate exercise. If you start getting too sick or something like that, or you're thinking about quitting, then I would say back off. Just do the recognitions that you can handle without too much discomfort. Especially in this case, because I'm giving them to you far too quickly.
What about doing it during pregnancy? I mean, do you have any concerns about that? Or, you know,
well, she's pretty far along, and it's not really much of a problem.
Yeah.
In fact, I've never. This is my ultimate belief on this. She's doing this not with me. She's doing this with Delta. And so Delta knows exactly how much her condition can take.
And he does kick, so during the whole thing, he kicks a lot. So.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about the stress on her body, but yeah, that's true. Well,
telling a pregnant woman to drink more water is probably not a pleasant thing, because you're probably peeing enough as it is.
For me, it's relieving stress.
Well, yeah.
And I've had, it's like this time.
Okay, I want you to hold on to that, because
sure.
I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
We're still going. So, is there anything else you'd like to share?
No, that's about it.
I just want to tell you, is one thing you can do with the conscious point of your mind is ask yourself, was that really not fair? Do 1, 2, 3.
Actually, I went through those steps, and based on other conversations I've had with my dad, and I've actually specifically laid it out there for him, and it is not fair.
But you have righteous anger, and that a greater wisdom than you or I wired your nervous system so that when you perceive a situation that's not fair, that you should feel angry. Okay. This is the same thing I would do in age aggression, validate the anger. Because so many times you've been told you shouldn't feel angry. But if somebody really does you wrong, or someone you care about, or something you care about, a greater wisdom than you or I, and we know it's true because it's universal. Everybody is that way. You're supposed to feel like it. So feel. That doesn't help, does it? Still angry. I'm not trying to make you not angry. I'm saying, feel it. Now, what's number one? Reality check. Number two, okay, make fair. If you can't, I mean, you have to talk to people about it. You have to do it. Then if you cannot make fair, what's the next step?
Don't forget.
That's your point of power. And you get to do that when you feel like you're ready to do that. But remember, the anger is there to motivate you to do the sometimes difficult things you need to do to make fair to the best of your ability. Anything else you care to share? Questions for me?
No.
Okay. Recognition number 4 neutralizes the anger. So enjoy it this weekend. Let the fear, let the anger come up. Because on Monday we're going to start taking it away. D.
Well, I started going to whatever that place is again today, but with a little effort, I brought myself back to the recognition. And what I'm experiencing is not anything that appears to be so tangible, and yet I know that it's different because I can feel shifting happening within me.
Describe that experience.
Well, like today, I felt like inside my head, almost even like my brain was like balancing. Okay? Like there was a difference in there. When we first started, I felt like this side of my face was like this, almost like someone with Bell's palsy. And I'm sure it probably didn't look that way, but it was like it actually, you know, I could feel there were sensations that I felt like were, and they're not like the sensations I experienced before. Before it would be like, you know, an eye fluttering or something. This is like things are moving and changing is what I'm feeling like. And then I would like have a pain in my neck and I would send the recognition there and it was like that would fade away. And the only other thing I can say is like things are moving to me what I perceive as consciousness. I mean, I can just feel, it's hard to put into words, but I can feel that there's difference there.
Okay. I'm putting an ending on this. I've changed because now I know.
I love myself.
And that makes me feel.
Wonderful.
Use a different one. You see how that was different than wonderful?
Yeah.
Wonderful is just like good. But when I said good, put another ending on it, and then you said whole, that's so much more important than just wonderful. Even though feeling whole might make you feel wonderful.
Well, I can even tell just by the vibration of my voice.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay. Anything else you care to share? Questions for me?
Not right now.
Thank you very much.
You're avoiding good, wonderful, bad, just those things.
Yeah, because they don't mean too much.
Yeah.
I think I'd put another ending on it. One word.
It's not like avoiding, just using it to move your word. Worst kind of power.
You know, I like hearing that stuff, but I'm seeing a color. Okay, what color you see? Blue. You see? Wonderful is like color. Gratitude is like gold. You see? Yes?
You laid a jewel on us and I want to get it right. Anger is there to motivate you to do something.
For whatever it is, anger, sadness, fear, yeah. Loneliness is there to motivate you to do the sometimes difficult things you need to do to satisfy your needs, wants, and desires. In the case of fear, it is. Fear is there to motivate you to do sometimes difficult things you need to do to make yourself and people you care about safe. If you're in anger, the anger is good, there to motivate you to do sometimes difficult things you need to do to make fair. That's a better environment for us, our families, and our communities. Good. Next. Yes, Lynn.
My to-do list, the next day was all the individual gratitude list, happy. Today, wow, I don't know if it's the full, I think the full ones are a lot more pronounced. The first one, I just got so sad. I thought of last night, I learned that my sister-in-law, my brother's neighborhood, was murdered or suicide. So a 12-year-old girl was in shock and said, now we're going to have to do my dad is dead. And I was just thinking about the girl, I got so sad. I lost my dad.
Okay, resonance.
Yeah. I know exactly exactly where that's coming from. Right. That's my stuff. That's not her. So then I was really sad. Then with the next, with the second one, it was different. Yesterday I saw this happen with, you know, with the kid, happy, so I was positive. Today I saw myself, you know, brat on the airplane, and my brother stepped on a comic book. I started screaming at when we got off the plane. My mother, I thought of when I was in high school and maybe trying to find parents. And all these images of when I was not looked so, that wasn't very lovable. That wasn't very lovable. Oh, that was interesting. And the third one, I saw all these people who were like the most accepting people in my life who would feel like they had unconditional love. So, that's an issue. It's like, well, you're not as accepting as yourself as you think you are. People, you need to accept yourself and each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important because those earlier beliefs with regard to lovability and whether or not there's something wrong with us are early perceptions in our life. Once those beliefs go into us, they go into the subconscious mind, they begin working automatically, and there's a barrier there called the critical factor. And so you can go through life, and 50% of the data you run into, like let's say you say, oh, there's something wrong with me. That goes on in there, 3 years old. Once that belief is there, then the critical factor, as you go through life, filters out everything to the contrary and lets everything that reinforces the belief in. You see? That's the problem. If you say, if you're 5 years old and someone says, you're fat, if you don't have anything in there to reject that, then it goes in, I'm fat. And then through the rest of your life, anyone that says something or event happens is contrary to that, that's rejected. Everything that is hot, that is in line with that, goes in, becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone says, you're mean, or you're spoiled, you're such a rotten little kid, that goes in. Every time when someone tries to say, you know, oh, you're such a lovable little child, what does the critical factor say? Uh-huh. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Right? And it gets rejected. It goes into the data file. You still know that that lunatic, you know, thinks that you're, you know, sweet and lovable. Inside, you don't feel that way. See? And so that's where hypnosis and self-hypnosis like Seven Path works. We're going to be able to weaken, make permeable that critical factor, and then just through preponderance of suggestion begin to have an effect on those earliest times in our lives. Some of you will remember them. Some of you will actually relive them. You'll be there with your mother, father, sister, brother, mean kid next door, whoever it was that put those beliefs inside of you or made you feel that way. Just, you'll remember that. You'll notice it's more than a memory. It's like there they are shouting at you again, and you're feeling that. So it's a very interesting process. Good. Anything else you'd like to share?
With the first one, after, you know, I was feeling very sad, and then my dad came. It's okay to be sad.
Your dad came. What do you make of that?
I think that all
that you. What? But you said your dad came to you. What do you make of that? What do you make of him coming to you?
It's like a calling. It's a peaceful way to call it. Not have a calling effect. I just don't like it.
Yeah. When we lose people or things that are really important to us, we're supposed to be sad. And actually, the more you let it out, the less you'll feel it. The pressure is off. Sourdough bread, all that kind of stuff. Anything else you'd like to share? By the way, I believe that it's possible, and I'm not telling you to believe this, that our deceased loved ones can come to us when we do this. Because, you know, Delta renews my life. Delta made me always lovable. You're doing work with your Delta, and if you have a Delta that is, shall we say, God-like, creator-like, then that's certainly not beyond the means of that kind of Delta to say, you know, allow you to have an interaction with the deceased loved one. Any questions for me? Next.
I have a question. So I've spent, you know, a great portion of my life working with children, older children, trying to help them reestablish the fact that they are lovable, they are, you know, worthwhile, all this stuff. And it's really hard, and it seemed kind of pointless. And now I'm kind of getting the picture why it was hard and pointless, because it's almost impossible to do. Is that correct, or?
Yes. Except for hypnosis, sometimes really traumatic life-changing kind of events can make a difference. But what we need to do is parenting. Parents need to learn to say, I love you. I don't exactly love what you just did, but there's nothing in the world you could do to make yourself unlovable. I mean, there's people out there that love Manson. Charlie Manson, they love Manson. I mean, I'm sure Saddam Hussein's mother loved him to the end. Hitler had a mistress. I mean, you can just go through all the stereotypical demons of the world, and there's people who loved him. I would die for them. And so we are all lovable. And to just really get that, even after we get mad at someone and say, you know, especially to our children, and say, yeah, I want you to know I love you. I was angry over the situation. I was angry over what happened. And it's okay to be angry, because that, if my point of view, was not fair to me. Or I was frustrated. That wasn't anger, that was frustration. You know, start using this language, but I'll always love you. And there's really nothing wrong with you. Okay? Sometimes I get mad and I go, what's wrong with you? But what I'm really wondering is what's going on so that a particular grade isn't being done, or it's really my frustration speaking, and what I should have said is, how can I say this differently so that I can get this message across? Because, you know, from my heart to your heart, there's nothing wrong with you. And to really get that message in, I love you, there's nothing you can do to ruin that, and there's nothing wrong with you. You are everything you need to be to do everything you came into this world to do. And if we could get that message to parents, and parents into their children, then the whole world would be better off.
My husband always had a send-off for our daughters, and it wasn't until today that I just realized how wonderful it was. He would always say when they left in the morning, I love you, and I will always love you no matter what. Now, do the best at everything you do today, and have fun doing it.
Yeah, I like you.
Yeah. And I guess I always thought it was kind of cute, but now I'm thinking, oh, thank you for saying that to them every single
day. And the repetition is so important.
Yeah.
If you don't have hypnosis, the next best thing is just a preponderance of repetition. Remember what I talked about, the 30-day principle. Gosh, if we would just say it over and over for 30 days, it'd start working that way. Now, seven path in children. How young? Depends. I would never give seven path to someone who was 17 years old but didn't have the discipline to do it. It'd just be a waste of time. It'd be pearls before swine. These little swinies. curtain climbing from Snatching Law Monsters, okay? But if I had a 13-year-old who is so disciplined that every day she gets up and practices clarinet or puts in an hour's worth of practice jogging in the morning for a track team, that is a disciplined individual. That's someone I would teach. So it's not so much a function of age as demonstrated ability. You know, there's tons of people, literally, that I've taught 7-path to do it. As soon as they leave class, they never do it again. But I'll always give an adult who's paying for a course the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, if you got the money, honey, I got the time. This is the old country song went, right? But children, they, in my mind, they have to demonstrate through behavior that they have the discipline to do that. And so sports, music, activities like that that they are doing on their own, where they're setting their alarm clock a half hour early, hour early, or whatever, to do it, that indicates to me that they can do this.
What about just introducing the concept to them and saying, you know, and if you decide at some point that you're going to be disciplined and you'd like to do this, just so that you know that there is something like this available, because I'm thinking that at a different point in someone's life, they might say, oh, now I remember that. Yeah, I think I would like to pursue that.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. What we need is a boy band to do a song about 7-path. The new Guns N' Roses singer is a 7-path practitioner. So, you know, something to bring it into pop culture like that would be wonderful. Yeah, the Harry Potter would, you know, like earn the first recognition. That would be wonderful. Yeah.
I'm staying with people that feel like it's 7-path.
I couldn't hear what you said.
I'm actually staying with people that would probably be the ones that could do it, because they're doing like kirtans and they show up for all the swamis and stuff like that. I'm their sponsor up in St. Louis, and I just can't wait to put them there. They're already on a nice path, but I can just tell life and level. This is right up the alley.
I've had many people who have been transcendental TM practitioners for decades learn this, and they say, "My, this is like meditation on steroids, because it gets you there so much faster." Yeah, but it's all healthy. And they said, this is what I've been trying to accomplish with 30 years of TM, and here in a couple weeks, look what you've shown me. So this is because it works with the way the mind works, and it's provocative. So yeah, anyone who's already on a TM path or something like that, if they're getting a little bit you know, bored or malaise with that, you know, or if they're curious about what you're doing,
yeah,
never give this away. Never give it away. It's an insult to the path. It's a disrespect of the process. Never give it away. They must pay and pay and pay. Now, there's more than one way to pay, but people only value what they put time, money, or effort into. And so they must pay, period. If you've got a situation where you think that maybe the right thing is to do it for free, I'm sorry, you do not have the right to do that. You're licensed, and the license is they must pay. If you think you have a situation, then you call us and you talk to us, and I'm going to probably be able to figure out a way where they pay. For example, prison system. Those guys making 50 cents a day stamping out license plates or whatever they're doing. Okay? Then they need to earn it. And in those institutional-type environments, be it an adolescent center or be it a prison center, they earn things. And there's ways to earn, you know, certain freedoms and responsibilities and stuff like that. Then they must get to a certain level to, you know, they have earned the right to learn 7-path. And maybe there's some other things that they can do. Like on Wednesdays, they take out the trash for a month. Or something. We want people, because the worst thing you can do to someone with regard to 7-path, the worst thing you can do is to give it to them for free. The best thing you can do is charge them as much as you possibly can, because then it's worth more to them. You charge them $100 for recognition, they are a whole lot more likely to actually sit down and use it. And wait a minute, I paid $100 for this thing. I'm going to see. I'm going to give it at least a try. Where if it was free, and you kind of say, here, this is what you had to do. This, do this, do this. I'll give it to you for free. It means nothing. If you waited until they were willing to pay for it, now they've got something about it.
So I could maybe partner with my local food pantry, and when someone had done 50 hours of volunteer service there.
This is one of the rewards they could have.
Yeah, okay.
You could do the Tupperware party thing. A lot of people, one of the weaknesses of my program is I have a classroom. And so in your mind, you think, oh, I need to get a classroom, and then I can do 7-pound. Wrong. You can do the Tupperware party thing. You can go into a home and have the lady invite their friends. They pay to be a part of it, and then you reward the hostess by giving her a full form. So it didn't cost you anything. Once you've got these, they're worth an infinite amount of money. And you never, it's like having a pocket full of gold that never runs out. Because once you get, once they're in there, they're there. So you can reward people who will host your 7-path classes or whatever by giving them recognition. They're invested in it. They paid. So different ways of doing it.
Do you have testimonials anywhere?
Yes. Yep. Who else would like to share?
That we would be able to use as we started before we had 7-path testimonials
sure.
ourselves.
Next, would like to share? Please, somebody share. Mark.
Well, we did the full form of the second recognition. I had a kind of a shift in consciousness about my father.
Tell us all about
it. It was really cool. My father and I have had our issues over the years, but what I came to realize is that he is one of the few people in my life that has really seen me as completely lovable, no matter what I've done. While my grandfather and my mother have. So I had some tears of gratitude for my new realization about my father. And I also started to become very angry about why my grandfather and mother couldn't treat me the same way, why I couldn't be loved.
That feeling of anger, is it familiar or new?
Was it then?
Okay, so here you're talking about an event that happened today, right?
No, I'm actually going back into the past.
I know, but you're saying I had a shift with regard to my father, and I actually became angry at my grandparents. When did that happen? Today or yesterday?
Well, I got angry today, but it's very
okay, good. Yes. And so I'm asking you about that. Is that feeling that you experienced today familiar or new?
Okay.
Yeah. This is the way you do this.
Okay.
So, so you are actually working on something from your past.
Yes.
And that's what that's just what I get at. That even though you felt the anger now, this recognition didn't make you feel that way. It provoked feelings from the past. Because when you're first saying, you say, yeah, and then I got angry at my grandfather or whatever, and I wanted to make sure everyone understood that, that was an old anger. And it wasn't like, I shifted my relationship with my father, and then I got angry. That wasn't just about now. That was about however long that's been going on. Okay. I've changed because now I know.
I'm lovable.
And that makes me feel.
Like he said, it makes me feel whole. It makes me feel invincible.
Stronger.
Yeah, right. Invincible. Like no, nothing that anybody else could think about or say to me could penetrate this understanding of my lovability.
And how does that make you feel?
Powerful.
Okay. You see, invincible is not a feeling. That is a thought. I think I'm invincible. And so I feel powerful. This is one of the things I will start splitting with you guys. Thoughts. Here's a little interesting technique. If you say, how did that make you feel, or how do you feel, if the next word out of their mouth is like, L-I-K-E, they're not going to tell you how they feel. They're about to tell you what they think. See, if I said to Mark, how did that make you feel? Like I was invincible. Say, invincible is not a feeling, it is a cognition, it is a perception. If I said, and how did that make you feel? Like I could do anything. Well, like I can do anything isn't a feeling, it's a perception. Okay. Feelings are usually like one word, but like precedes a thought. It's kind of interesting. Okay, anything else you'd like to add to that?
I think that the third recognition just kind of anchored in that whole experience that after I was already in that state of mind, it was like, yeah, the creator or spirit or Delta knows this about me. And it was a partnership that it was like, it anchored it in more because it felt like it was more of a partnership. It's showing me in this knowledge together that I am lovable. So it was cool.
And it's a much more level of certainty and acceptance of that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to call in a couple of people. Akiko, what was that like for you? I just like hearing you talk.
We all do. I have a headache.
Let me ask you, is that headache familiar or new? So you're experiencing an adjustment. Something is changing inside. Good. Normally,
recognition.
Recognition.
I know that meaning, and I waited for echo, but suddenly my inside me said to me, "Are you sure? Are you really nothing wrong with you?" And suddenly my head shut down. So it's like I cannot think anything. So
tilt.
But I wanna change. I want to change. I wanna hear answer, echo. So inside me is fighting something like that. This above the head is a shutdown, but inside this here, I wanna hear. So something it's over me. So I still have headache.
Okay, there's a number of things I want to discuss about what you've said. First of all, you said, I say the recognition, I know what that means. And then I was waiting for the echo. But instead, a part of me said, are you sure? Okay, that's the echo.
I think it's one of the most courageous beings here.
You see, any thought, feeling, sensation, memory, or picture. So here you are, you're looking at, hearing the echo, being with the echo, going, I don't want you, I want the echo. Right? So I want to get that clarity done. See, on the last day of class, I'm probably going to say, okay, how do you know if you're doing this right? And I'm going to be explaining an echo. And teaching this class has done more to improve my patience than anything I've ever done in my life. Because I just know that I'm going to be saying this over and over and over again, and there will come to a point in the class you go, ah, now I can hear what you're saying. Now, of course, you know, English is not your first language, and so it's more challenging. So, whatever happens from within inside you, after you finish saying the recognition, is the echo. So, there's that part. And so then after that, you went on to say that your mind kind of shut down or something. You said up here, shut down. Yeah, tell me more about that.
Yeah, because I hope that my sad incident when I was a child. Mm-hmm. So it's still, I'm still angry at that thing. So
can you tell us what that event was?
I was elementary school, third or fourth. The teacher came up to me and said, ugly, and he did.
He hit you?
No,
he said, ugly.
Just said to me.
What was this? You said,
no,
just like that. He said,
just said to me, and he left.
Oh, and he left.
He left. So,
what was that like for you then? How are you feeling right now?
I was ashamed
because my classmates are here. So. Where is that feeling in your body now?
My feeling.
Where do you feel that emotion in your body now?
I'm
a head. Mm-hmm. Headache? Emotion and head. Do we see the connection there? The more you let that out, the more your head will not hurt anymore. I see this all the time. The holding in of the emotion will make your body hurt. What would you say to that little girl if she was here now? That little girl that you were. Let me ask you something. Was that right for that teacher to do? I want you to think about that little girl. That sweet little girl. About how old is she?
10.
If you have a little girl like that in your life, a niece, a daughter, would you do that for her? Why? Is it true? Is she ugly? So, that's what you need to tell the little girl. I'd like you right now to close your eyes, just spend a moment in your language, talk to her, and you need to tell her that individual is wrong. You are not loved. You are not ugly. You are lovable, and there's nothing wrong with you. Just take a little time to do that right now. Just talk to her. How do you feel now?
I feel sad, you know, God. Smart, you know. So.
I did not understand that. Say again.
That God, you know me? It's my love, you know? So, I feel that. Yeah.
Where is she now? Where she can always be safe, always be secure, and always have your understanding. How does she like it in the end? Is it okay with you if she stays there always? She's always been there. That's the place where your feelings come from. As she changes, you change. That's when we do the second recognition, we always say it to the place where we put the little one. Help to make them always lovable and send it right in there. The little one is. Because she lives, or he lives, where all our feelings come from. It changes everything. Repeat after me. I've changed.
I've changed.
Because now I know.
Because now I know.
Put an ending on that. I put an ending on that sentence. I've changed because now I know.
I've changed because I know. That God is always with me. Is always.
And that makes me feel.
Makes me feel.
Free. That's what you've always wanted, was to be free of that. Now, if you watched her, there's a point where she went, that was the physical shift. It happened here and here, and then. Before she said it, it happened. Then she articulated it. She went, free.
My
headache
is gone.
Okay. How many, you know, weeks, months, or years of medication, you know, anti-anxiety, anti-depression, or whatever, do you think people are undergoing because of a simple thing like that? Traumatic, but simple. How many weeks, months, or years of talk therapy to get to something like that? As a therapist, I wouldn't have known that that's where I needed to go. But the dance she's in with Delta knows how to get there. And then myself as a facilitator, so you're supposed to be watching me because if you do this stuff, no. Where do you feel that in your body? Is it familiar or new? Okay. What would you tell that little girl now? Okay. Why didn't you do that? Okay. I've changed because now I know. I've changed because now I feel. You should see me doing this stuff over and over again. And I say, I'm free. And I say, that's what you've always wanted. It's not that hard. If it was hard, I couldn't do it. Not that complicated. I'm like an ox walking down the road or a train down the track. I'm just really kind of, you know, typical man, one thing at a time. Yeah. Any questions for me? Yeah, you're smiling now. Kind of surprised yourself, didn't you?
It was.
How so? What happened? What surprised you?
before, I didn't think it's I have a power this much. So another thing, I can change myself. Yeah, it's so.
Thank you. Good. I'd like to do one more. One more sharing. Who'd like to share one more before we move on to the next phase? How about one of our online people? Will one of you please share? What was that like for you? Greg, Ali, Candace? Candace, please tell us about that experience. Okay, Candace, your voice is breaking up. In order for you to be able to talk to us, you're probably going to have to like log on and log off again. So we'll have you share after lunchtime. So in the meantime, Nina, can you help her like log off and log on? That usually will clear that up. All right, we've come to a convenient place to stop. Let's do lunch, 1 hour, 15 minutes. So that would be about, 1 hour would be 1:20, and so that would be 1:35. Yeah, 1:35. Thank you all for sharing.